Okay. Just to be honest, for the record, this is a dry run for my shmooze for Tuesday night shul. In shul, I'll present a little bit differently. So, in the shul, my goal is really to present discussion topics that people should have for the suitors. I'm not necessarily going to give the answers, just give the questions. But you guys will get the answers. So you can't tell, though. Okay? Just making sure. Okay. Revolver presents a fascinating thought process. Absolutely fascinating thought process. You need a ball muster to come up with this one. He says that there's a very important personage in the whole story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is very important to us because we have a lot to learn from him. His name is Paro. Paro is probably the most important person we need to learn from in the whole story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so now I'm filling in some blanks over here. So the question I would ask them is, why do you think important? What do we have to learn? What can we learn from Paro? Right. So Paro Luchar is a fascinating person. Right. He's presented with a piece of information that doesn't fit with what his reality is, and he says no. So he's pressured a little bit. He seems to indicate yes. He starts wavering a little bit, and he says no. Then he wavers a little more, and he says no. And he wavers a little more, and he says no. And he keeps going back and forth. Right. We're all like that. You know, person comes to a corridor that he has to make certain changes. And whether it's Yom Neroyim, whether it's Tam, Hira Tshuva, the person's working on himself, and he realizes one day that change is going to make a big difference in his life. It's really going to be a big... And he shies away from it, because, like, that's a major change. And I'm not ready to do that. I was in a seed program in Dayton, Ohio, and a fellow comes in. He wants to, he's been reading books about Bible criticism, and he wants to discuss that. So I asked him, okay, you know, I'm game. Why are you reading books about Bible criticism? So he went to this Aish Discovery Weekend, where they proceed to prove the divinity of the Torah through different elements of the presentation. And he realizes if the Torah is true, he has to change his life. He doesn't want to change his life. So maybe the Torah is not true. So he's reading books about Bible criticism to see if he can prove that the presentation is not true. And that being said, if it's true, he knows he has to do it. He's an honest person. So he wants to make sure that these proofs, you know, that these proofs that the reading of the Bible criticism are valid proofs or not. Okay, that was like, you know... And as we listen to this thought process, you know, you hear the honesty of the person, but he was saying, like, I really don't want to change my lifestyle. And what about us? So a person comes to a corridor that, you know, he's not learning enough. And really, he could learn a lot more during the day, but, you know, it's a major change. So you're going to change, do you do it or not? Right? He should be more careful about Lashon Hara, but, you know, his friends are going to think he's really, you know, he fell on his head. But he knows deep down what the truth is. But it's not comfortable to change. It's very uncomfortable to change. You know, you have to dispel from the people who come to Bali Tshuva. You know, they make major changes in their lifestyle. They almost change their lives. They lose friends, and they make major changes. Are we ready to make major changes in our lives? Paro said, no. We're Paro. Okay, so what's holding us back? Now, you have to remember, like, you know, we have at least this Haftacha. Four-fifths of Klal Yisrael did not leave Mitzrayim. It means four-fifths of Klal Yisrael. Revolver writes, has a beautiful essay in Ali Shur and the Chelek Aleph in the last Shar. Maimer Ches is called Ashkocha Begula. He points out that four-fifths didn't leave because they weren't ready to take this step. They understood, as they became more and more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's controlling the Bria and having... They became aware that the Bresham has expectations from them. And I want to point out, you know, that Klai Yisrael, according to the some before Shem, the Shibud ended by Makas Dam. Some say it ended later. It ended by Makas Dam. They didn't become Avdei Hashem. How Avdei Hashem and Avdei Paroiv till the Tenth of Nisan when Mishkuch Vulkan Soin. They did their first mitzvah. They did the mitzvah of Mila, right? So it's been, according to Chazal, the whole process took a year, took 12 months. It's been 10 months. They've been living very comfortably. They're not Avdei Paro anymore. They have no mitzvahs. They Beshe Pasha, just like they are the masters of their destiny. They're stuck in this land over here. But, you know, when they walk around by the Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, like, you know, just like them now, you know, it's a very comfortable existence. But as it gets closer and closer, they know there's this Tavdinus Lachim Laharazen, there's like commitments and there's responsibilities and there's like, you know, this whole new like expectations from them. And they're like, so there's a fascinating thought from the Torah of Rome. He says, why is Parsha Shemois part of Sefer HaGeulah? Like, why is it part of the Geula? It's Golus. So you say, well, Masl, but we can lose some time. B'Shvach. He says, okay, there's a Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin has a discussion with Tinnatinus and Rebbe. At what point does the Yetzer Hara enter into the child? The moment of conception or the moment of birth? So Rebbe said the moment of conception. Tinnatinus says, no, it can't be. Because Im Kain Boif Ima B'Yotzei, if he would do that, he would kick through his mother's stomach and he come out. So Rebbe says, you're right. It's Pshas Yetzir when he comes out. And that's on the Pasuk, the Pesach Chatas Rebbe's. So Rebbe accepted Antoninus' Ahara. So Antoninus says that the Yetzirah comes to the blood inside the mother's stomach, if he would have a Yetzirah, and says, you know, let's kick out and go out. And he says, yeah, let's go. That's what would happen. Now, what's exactly, you know, Yetzirah is simply selling something. What's he selling? He's always selling something. What's the sales pitch for this child here in the mother's stomach that he wants to be even a Yetzirah? So he says, well, you know, Chazal say, the more needed, the more it says, that a year remembers back, Yarchi Kedem, the months that I lived way before, not years, but months. It's referring to the years he was, the months he was developing in his mother's, inside of his mother. Chazal say that Behilo Neira Ale Roshi, that he saw everything. He learned Kol Tarkula, he saw everything, he was totally taken care of. So what exactly is the sales pitch? Right, money, not going to sell. Right, taiva, stama, the Vlad doesn't have taiva at that point in time. So what, right? Gaiva, also not. What's the sales pitch? Okay, furthermore, let's take it a step further. It says, Mashal is Barbim Bayot. So he dies because he can't live yet like this. Fascinating. If you ever have time, if you want to talk to a doctor about the processes that would take place in the child, right before birth, the child, if these processes don't take, the child will die when he comes out. He cannot live in this world. His lungs aren't developed yet. He doesn't have ability to breathe. Actually, the blood goes the wrong direction. There's holes in the heart which have to be closed. There's a whole process which takes place moments before birth, which, if the child comes out beforehand, he's in tremendous danger. See, Yetzer Hara comes to listen, here's the deal. It's so tempting out there, you're going to die because of it, but it's worth it. What's he selling? He's selling one thing. Independence. I don't like being cooped up and being told what to do. Like, he's like a teenager. Like, you know, listen, here's how. Do me a favor, you know, or dad, do me a favor. He says, don't tell me not to drink that, because you tell me I'm going to drink it. I know it's bad for me. I won't drink it on my own. But if you tell me, I'm a doctor. Because don't tell me what to do. I want to be independent. I hate somebody controlling me. That's what a child is in his mother's stomach. So that's the most primordial, basic Yetzer Hara which exists. I want to exist. You know, where do we see it? This is the Nachash coming to Adam Rishon. V'yisim ke'elokim. And right now, he's God. And he controls you. You can be the one who decides the world. That's Yetzer Hara. That's the most basic Yetzer Hara. Matan Torah is to overcome that Yetzer Hara. Klal Yisrael keeps blowing it because Klal Yisrael has not overcome that Yetzer Hara. The person says, don't do it. So we do. Okay, so we have the ego. Says, okay, and then, go to Eretz Yisrael. No, no, wait one second. The person, excuse me, we need to figure out whether it's a good idea or not. Okay, comes back. We blew it. Okay, Bershom says, don't go. He says, okay, now we're going to go. Really? Mapilim? Bershom said, don't go. No, now we're going to go. I mean, this is us. This is the Sefer Bamidbar. But this is Parsha Shmois, he says. We needed to learn to accept the yoke. We had no shaitas to that. Well, it didn't work perfectly. 4/5 were not ready to do that. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael had the same problem that Paro has. This is Paro. He doesn't want somebody. We don't say that every day. I mean, we don't say it like in such graphic terms. You know, listen, Rosh Hashanah, I know you want me to get up for davening, but I want to sleep. I know you don't want me to say Lashon Hara, but I really want to say this piece of Lashon Hara. I know you don't want me to eat this thing, but I really want to eat this thing. I know you don't want me to learn, but I don't want to learn. There's this tug of war between the Bereshim and me. This goes on all the time. This is us. The Paro is us. Okay. So how do you overcome this? So, well, he stopped this. So Rabbi Yerucham says a beautiful word. He says, if you look at the Haggadah, the Rambam says very clearly that Kolamar b'lasavri shishin tzemer is a mashubach. The Rambam does not learn like, that's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says that your darish, Kolamar b'lasavri is a mashubach, and your darish, the parsha, Rambam b'lasavri till the end of the parsha, Kolamar b'lasavri shishin tzemer is a mashubach. So the Rambam, Kolamar b'lasavri, v'oys a parsha, reis a mashubach. The parsha you're supposed to darshan is the parsha of Rami Yehuda Avi. Right? It's just, you know, first of all, let's get this clear. So, any vertical that you say on Hey Lach Ma'anya, Ho Lach Ma'anya, Ki Lach Ma'anya, you're not Yotzim Rabbi Lach Ma'anya, it wasn't that parsha yet. There's a Maisa B'nei Brak, someone B'nei Brak, not the parsha yet, not Yotzim. Okay? Till you get to the parsha, don't waste your time. This is Shane Rambam. Why that parsha? What's so important about that parsha? Where is this parsha? It's not talking about anything. Right? Where is this parsha? It's the parsha Bikurim. It's the parsha Kisavai. Kisavai. Like, you know, you move through 9/10 of the whole Chumash to get to this parsha finally. This is the parsha which we're going to darshan for Yetzias Mitzrayim. For Leil Pesach. So here this person comes, he's coming, Baruch Hashem, he had a good fruit crop, had Bikurim, he comes to Bisa Mikdash, and he says, Baruch Hashem, here they are. So he makes a declaration, Baruch Hashem, you gave me this land, I appreciate that you gave me the land. He says, no, and he gave us this land, we had a good crop, thank you. I mean, like, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't do this, but you would imagine, like, you know, like, you decided to really work on your mita of Kibbutz Avayim. You come over for Ben Zmanim, and your mother makes you supper and says, Mommy, I have to tell you something before we eat supper. So I'm going to make a declaration over here. You've taken care of me since I was a baby. Days and nights, you've taken care of me through fever, through everything like that. And you go out like 5 to 10 minutes, and you said, and you made me supper tonight. Thank you for the supper. Your mother's going to think, like, what did you drink? What did you smoke? What did you do? Like, what's happening? Like, you know, what happened? Well, that's what we do in benching. Right? We had a nice meal. Chatzim Sabot, we're after Shabbat Kacho. And thank you for lunch. I mean, like, you know, like, it's weird. I tried once with my wife, and she, like, you know, she said, stop. I just, you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, I just like describing, like, the amount of effort for one Shabbos student. Just forget about, you know, you started already thinking about a Monday, about a menu, and then you went about it and you bought it, and I just went every single detail, and it was like Kavaldik. And she's just like, okay, you're here to once, just to do here, don't do it again. It's like strange, okay? So he had a good crop. So we start from Rami Ben Avi. Of course, it's Toiv. Rashi says, if a niece of Amarta, Loimer Shane called coffee type, you're not coffee type. Okay? So Biruchim says on that, that's what Hamusr Chalak Aleph says, the people think the goal of the first hand of Pesach is a Muna. No. Wrong. Okay? It's a Chosh of a goal. Ramathas Yo has a Haggadah, his Hanukkah is the goal of the night of first day is a Muna, and the name of the Haggadah is all about a Muna. He speaks all about a Muna, every single part of a Muna. Okay, Ruchum says, no, I don't think so. That's not where it's supposed to end. Some people think it's, you know, about... No, not that either. It says, what's it about? It's a fascinating thing. If you look at the parsha of Bikurim, it says at the end of the parsha, it says, you're going to bow your being down to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting to point out, he points out there's no other place in the Torah where there's a mitzvah of Yishtachavisa, Yishtachavoya. Now, Chazal learned out there's a lach of Yishtachavoya, when you prefer makes a korban, it's Yishtachavoya, but preparation in a pasuk doesn't exist. Where? Bikurim. When you're Makar Tov, you come to Yishtachavis. You're Meshavit Yosef. You become an Eved. The goal of the night of Pesach is to come to Akar Tov and to make yourself an Eved. That's what he says. Okay. So, I guess the next question would be, what's the goal of the night of Pesach, right? Okay. So great. So, you know, I mean, every once in a while we have a discussion in Yeshiva that the Muslim, how do you train people to have a Karas HaTov? Like, you know, training them to have a Karas HaTov. It's a very hard thing to train them. So, listen, you need to be thankful to me for all I've done for you. It's very hard to say that. So they say, my parents, you know, what you do is, you know, the father says you have to be thankful to your mother. You know, it says you have to be thankful to your father, so they cover for each other, you know. Right? Maybe the Rebbeim say for the parents, maybe the parents will say for the Rebbeim, you know, but it's still, you know, then it comes out, it's very uncomfortable, right? Why is it very uncomfortable? Because people don't like being Meshubbet. If a curse would mean, you say thank you, and that's all it means, yeah, it wouldn't be so hard. People feel a tug. I owe this person something. I'm no longer independent. I owe him something. He has something over me. So the Medrash says that if a person opens the door for you, you owe him your life. That's pretty heavy Medrash. It's Parsha Shmos. But that's the idea that's saying. When a person's done something for me, I feel a shibud to him. Yeah, great. I don't like shibud him. So there's going to be a part of me which is going to be kafri toif, try to deny it, because that's much more comfortable. Because once I admit it, it's there. So what's the goal? I'm kafri toif. I cover it over. I do not admit that it exists. Okay, so we have a greater. We know what our goal is. We know the purpose of the whole Yitzchus HaTorah, Bria is overcome the Yetzer Hara. We know that the night of Pesach is supposed to accomplish that, and we know we're going to rebel against it. What's next? So is there a hechatip where a person can overcome this problem? And the answer is there is. And that's through the process called ahava. When I love somebody truly, I want to do for them. If the process is going to be, there's this relationship of an eved to an odin, it's somebody to a king, that's a relationship of yira. Right? So yira works, because I'm scared out of my wits, right? But inside of me, there's something, there's this pressure building up that I want to find a way out. And you have this wonderful thing called a Yudea Rebbeinu Miskavelim Rebbeinu. I mean, that sounds like ridiculous, right? But that's what we're talking about. We understand there's a Rebbeinu, but we don't like the fact that we're Meshubit. We're not sure. I deny Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. Yeah, b'shas ma'is, the ruach shtus. Deep down, I know that everybody knows. You know, when you read about it, the first time you read about it in Rashi, remember the first time it's like, that sounds like so strange. You day everybody knows kabbal everybody. And hit me afterwards. Yeah, where you day everybody knows kabbal everybody. So what's the answer? He's not my reborn. He's somebody that I love. I want to do it for him. I would like to believe. You know, it doesn't always work, right? But, you know, husband, you know, takes out the garbage as well, because, you know, I have responsibility. You know, I really frustrated about me. I really don't like this. I'm rebelling against it. But I do it anyway, because, you know, that's it. I have responsibilities, and I have a key to me. She's my master. Like, you know. No, you want to help in the house. I just recently heard that somebody says he got up and he spoke about the idea of cleaning for Pesach. So he says that I want to make it very clear that it's 100% wrong. A husband should not help their wives clean for Pesach. Well, he says, helping the wife means it's their responsibility. I'm helping them. Why is it their responsibility? You should clean for Pesach. Because it's your responsibility. Not because you're helping your wife. It's a Kabbalah line. Right? Okay. I'm helping, I want to do this. It's my job. I mentioned this. I did recently. Like, so somebody helps out in yeshiva. I said the shmuz in here in yeshiva. I was listening to the shmuz. I said the shmuz in here in yeshiva. I think 10 years ago. So I think I'm good. Right. So the situation, whether I don't know exactly what the situation was, there was a family event with the Lapianskis, I'm not sure exactly which one, but Kitzer, Seifdara called Nishma, the Bachram needed to really pull their weight, and the Bachram did. And I was very proud of the Bachram, they really pulled their weight, etc. I was like, I want to clarify, why do you pull your weight in yeshiva? Why put your weight in yeshiva? Oh, because it's your responsibility to pull your weight in yeshiva. One reason. I don't like that reason. Okay? Second reason. Hakaras Toiv to yeshiva. Right. I don't like the reason either. Third reason, because you're yeshiva. Like, why do you pull your weight in your house? Well, because I have a Hakaras Toiv to my wife. That's why I pull my weight in my house. Really? That's horrible. That's why you pull your weight. I help at home with my parents because I have a Hakaras Toiv to my parents. So what would you like to happen otherwise? Like the house should fall apart? I mean, it's your place. It's your house. You don't care? If you don't care, we have a basic problem. Listen, it's my responsibility to care. It's my responsibility to care. I care. Child, the person gave you to me, and that's my responsibility to take care of you. But I don't really care about you. It's my responsibility to take care of you. You would hate that, right? That's like your mother walks in and says, listen, here's the deal. You know, I make supper, but not because I love you, not because I care about you. It's because... You know, I was supposed to do. The Hashem gave me. Like, you know, that's my situation in life. I have to take care of you. She takes care of you because she takes care of you. She wants to take care of you. She feels that's part of her being. That's why you help. Why do I do mitzvahs? Because I have an avat to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Megillah, which we read on Pesach, is Shira Shirim. The goal of a Karsatov, the Chobot Chaim says, there's a mitzvah after the Shem Lekecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyadecha. You say it how many times a day? At least twice, right? Three times, right? Some people say four times. The Chinuch said it's one of the mitzvahs to meteors. The Chobot Chaim points out like this, you know, the halacha, you can't eat breakfast. You can't eat food. I mean, for breakfast, lunch, or supper. You can't eat. See, a mitzvah. So a person mechayev and lulav, he doesn't take a lulav yet, he can't eat. So he says, okay, so lulav is once a day. Mitzvah of Havas Hashem is every moment. Will you mechayev Havas Hashem today? No. So how do you eat all your breakfast? Because it's all the time. It makes it worse. It makes it more calmer. So will you mechayev Havas Hashem this morning? So, Arv the Chabetz Chaim, and Shmir Saloshin, Chelet Beis, at the end. Chach, we also eat before you become Abbas Hashem. So, how you become Abbas Hashem? What do you do? How you become Abbas Hashem? What do you do? So, he says, Chabetz Chabetz, he says that you stop and you respond and all the Chassad of Kadosh Baruch Hu did to you, till the point, and you think about it to the point you feel a feeling of love to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKarsa Toiv is Merlid Ahav. The goal is not... Hakaras HaToiv, he stopped this. Odin, Evid, feeling of responsibility. Because then you're going to rebel. One day the Yetzer Hara is going to come along and say, you don't like this. I say, you're right, I don't like this. I'm not ready to give up all my being. There's one place a person gives up all of his being to somebody else, and that's through the process of Ahava. And the goal of Pesach is to generate an Ahava between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's marriage. That's what marriage is. Right? Chos and Kala feel a tremendous feeling of desire. They want to help. They want to give to the other person. That's where we are trying to engender in our being a feeling of vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. The problem is we're not very good at feeling that feeling of Alpha. So Rabbi Miller says an interesting thing. He says, you know, when we talk in generalities, the version was so good to me means zero. Just like you said something, you know, thank you so much for being so nice to me. You know did you notice what he does? So you need to stop and think. But now we need a muna, because we need to know what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. And we need to play it up and understand what's the message. You know, and then we have, you know, people, so they're grappling. Those guys really love me. Like, you know, it can be such a difficult situation in life. You know, so-and-so doing with rhetoric. Like, we have all these meetings which grapple with our problem of, you know, if I'm busy being jealous of the guy next to me, it's very hard to bow with Hashem when I'm like upset at Kosh Baruch Hu that he, like, somebody told me he came with, he, you know, count that to me, he was in a difficult situation, something happened, etc. And his first reaction was, you know, I have a Rechmonus on the Goyim, and the Goyim, they have nowhere to turn. I have a Kosh Baruch Hu to turn to. She says, I'm so happy with the Goyim, he says, because they have nobody to blame. I have Kosh Baruch Hu to blame. That was his next thought. Like, he's angry at Kosh Baruch Hu. Why did it have to happen to me? So you're not going to be holding me out with Hashem. You want to hold out with Hashem, you know, you have to get, we have a lot of meters which prevent us from doing that. But the same way, there's a natural flow between the Chosin and the Kal, there's a tremendous desire to give. It's possible in our being to have that desire to give to Kosh Baruch Hu. I want to give to Kosh Baruch Hu. I want to give. Not because of my responsibility, not because of it, just it's a karsatayv. It moves way beyond that. That's a hechatimsa to generate a feeling of a desire and a love to give back to Kodesh Baruch. Okay. I'm going to talk about time for a second. No, that's not true. I'm talking about time for a few minutes. Not enough time to talk about time. Kleisel is given, the first thing that Kleisel is given is the mitzvah of mitzvah of time, to understand the concept of time. We have a mitzvah immediately after the first night of Pesach, count time. So we have two mitzvahs which are connected to Pesach, which have to do with time. What are the messages of time which are taking place over here? So I once heard from Rabbi Einsteiner Shlita in Cleveland, which is Rabbi Einsteiner and Bolt Yisrael's father. He had a ha'ora. He had the following ha'ora. Says when we count, the way Ashkenazim count, Sphira, so we count the days at the beginning of the day. That's what we learn from Halacha Tamimus, that you have to count the day. So we say, my friend says, Yom Yomechad, Bo'aymer, Lo'aymer, Yom Yomechad, right? He's saying, this is the day. It means it's the beginning of the day. Actually, preferably in Halacha, you should count it as early as possible. It should be as Tomim as possible. So you're counting the day before it starts. As it's starting. We count weeks after they finish. We don't count weeks. We say, oh, this is the beginning of the first week. And then, you know, after 7 days are up, we should say, and now is the second week. We should say, Hayoim Shemana Yomim Ba'aymer Sheheim Hatzcholos Shua Sheni. We don't say that. We don't say that. We say, it's 1 week. So we count weeks after the finish, we count days as the beginning. Good ha'ara. So what do you do with it? So I would like to say, if I remember correctly, this is what he said. He said, even after all of this cheshbonus, okay, so I'm telling you, listen, you love cheshbonus so much, for the rest of your life you can always listen to what he says and always commit to yourself to do whatever he wants. We're still not going to be makabel. We're still not going to be makabel. Even with Ava, we have limits to how far Ava is going to go. So I say, okay, my friend, here's a chai. I want you to deal with units of time. Unit time of a day. Measuring whether you are doing it or not, don't measure it up. Don't measure that. Just right now, right now, you have a day ahead of you. Use this day well. Okay, I can commit to using a day well. And I'll worry about tomorrow. Okay, you want to see how you're doing? So once in a while, you look back and say, you know, it's been a lot of weeks. I've been doing pretty good. But you do that lachrimais, because you start looking at it. I have a week, wow, I have 168 hours which I'm committing. Wow, right? I have 24 hours that I'm committing. Maybe you could handle that, right? It's not only 24 hours. It's 24 hours times 60, you know, which, times 60 minutes, times 60 seconds. Imagine how many seconds there are in a week. There's over 86,000 seconds in a week. It's like, it's really crazy. And you're committing to every single one of them. You're going to be able to broker properly. See, it's a horse. Forget it. Done. I'm not interested. 86. I'm ready to commit right now to 86. Over 86,000 moments. And the truth is, you know, really a second. There's, you know, you can get 4 words in for Shibach, you can get like 4 or 5 words in a second. You know, so it's a lot. You know, for the average human being, you get like 1 or 2. Shibach, you get like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5. Sometimes if they're really excited, really agitated. Right? That's a lot of commitment. Right? So I'm going to be careful right now for everything that I say. You know, this, it's a fascinating thing that you know, the doctors have, you know, chanced upon is that the strongest muscle in the body is the jaw. And people talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and they never get tired. Right? For sure, the Kazakh. There's no other part of your body. The heart, you know, but all of your physical, the outside, we wear out. Because the Morris says in Sanhedrin, a human being was made la'omol yulod, la'omol peh. So Bershom gave us a kli which never gets tired, because that's not our, can't be able to give us a kli which gets tired, but that's our job. We're made la'omol peh. So we keep talking. So I'm right now committing the 86,600 seconds that there are in a week, which for me is about 5 words per second. So I'm committing right now to the over the 400,000 words I'm going to say the next week are all going to be L'Shem Shemaim. Exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's going to be very hard to convince me to commit to that. Like 400,000 Maisim that I'm committed to right now. I'm ready to do it. You know, if I want to be honest, I'm not sure that I'm ready to do that. I think I'm going to peter out somewhere along the way. Like, ask the average guy, says, you know, the day after, on Yom Kippur itself, but the day after Yom Kippur, okay, you made a commitment for the next 365 days, just, you know, probably not. So don't count them. Don't count weeks. Count days. For us, it's probably better we should count, like, you know, probably count minutes or something like that, you know. I'm ready to commit to Shemakos Baruch for the next minutes, you know. Like, Rav Obel writes, he says, a person says Shema, so he says, he's ready to push it on the Kivshon Eish. And I told you about them, I had him met in Muncie, Rav Mordechai Tzadik, they didn't let him daven in the vision of Shul anymore because he was too overwhelming for the visitors, you know, for the Chassidim. The Chassidim Shayid, I'm telling you, the man was a Tzadik. When he would say Shema, you would hear him falling into Kivshon Eish. He used to daven in some little shtibel, whatever. I mean, he said Shema. It took him I don't know how long, but he says Shema, Shema, Shema. He jumped up and down, he's stamping, and he's like, and you push up. At the time you hear Hashem, oh! you heard him falling into the Kibbutz Nesh. Mamas, you heard it. It was Mishunadika. It was like today to go there one time. You couldn't daven because the man was screaming his kishkas out. You know, it was on top of you. Like the shul is about like the size of these three tables, and this guy jumping up and down and screaming his kishkas out. You know, but you know if you weren't in the mood of davening, you just wanted to watch him. It was worth it. Okay, mamash, I'm ready. You know, kishkas eish. Okay, so if you're going to kishkas eish, kavul karmid, like you can learn straight for an hour without patola, right? And the chart should be logical, right? So you're sitting and learning, and all the person wants you to learn, he wants you to give up your life for kish, right? And he wants you to learn straight for an hour, and the guy comes up and tells you, yeah, I says, no. He says, yeah, I give in. So who are you fooling? It was Kabbalah Omach HaShemayim. I'm Mamashim Mekabal Omach HaShemayim. I'm committing myself to do what the person wants to do, no matter what it is, even to the point of learning for an hour straight. That's a Kabbalah. That's relevant to you. Kishon Eish, you know, that's what we're holding by. Says, you want to be Emes, and Emes of Kabbalah is that I'm going to commit to the next 30 minutes to do the right thing. And you see, you know what, you're not ready to say, and you're not ready, and if you're honest with yourself, I'm not sure I want to commit to that. So forget about Kishon Eish, you're lying. You're ready to go to the Kishon Eish, but you're not ready to commit to the next half an hour to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Because you know deep down that you're not ready. There's going to be a moment and say, I want to do what I want to do, whether Bershom likes it or not. So let's be a cowboy for like a minute. If you want to be honest. You know, Rav Obel writes that he writes like an hour. He says, you probably can't handle it. No, three quarters of an hour. When he wrote that, you know, this is back in like, you know, in the 60s, they had attention spans, you know. Nowadays, it's like, you know, we're talking about, you know, 3 minutes, you know. Sesame Street. So we've come to the kuda over here. The kuda Pesach is kabbal. He stopped. We are coming to recognize we can't force it upon ourselves. We force it on ourselves. We're just going to rebel and push it off, and we're going to join the 4/5 who didn't make out of Mitzrayim and Paro, etc. So he said, okay, the goal is Ava. Love of Kadosh Baruch Hu so much that you want to submit. I'm not fighting myself. There's no part of me which is saying no. I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you know. Physical love is much easier than loving Kadosh Baruch Hu at first glance, because the body's in. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, the body's saying, you know, I'd rather sleep. Rosh, I love you so much. Like, you know, yes, for your something that you love, you'll get up in the middle of the night and take out the garbage. for Kadosh Baruch Hu, I love Kadosh Baruch Hu, I love you very much, but not the garbage middle of the night, please, you know. I'd rather be sleeping. Okay, so you say, okay, so you know what? The answer is don't make it over a large period of time. Commit for a day. You want to know at some point in your life, are you really making progress? You look back and say, you know what? I had a nice week, Baruch Hashem. But you're not going to make a week by being makabel a week. You make a week by being makabel a day. The other part of time is Chodesh Elochem Rosh Chodesh. This is how we count time. We count time by the Levana. The Levana gets better, the Levana gets worse. You know what? You really blew it yesterday. Okay, so what? You'll get better tomorrow. You look back after a week and say, you know what? It was not a good week. Okay, so therefore what? I give up. I can't do this. I tried so many times, I can't handle it. So the with Ava, even my dear cousin over here who loves his wife tremendously, and he really means it, and he's really serious about it, and his mom is by the chuppah, he's committing. Right? So I say, okay, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, it's not nice to the guys, but I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll do it anyway. Right? At some point in your life, you know, you ask the guy, honestly, are you ready to mamash commit to give in a manner of what, any moment, the rest of the next 85 years? So I said, well, if you put it like that, I'm not sure. Because he's not. He's not ready to give up his whole being. And we're back to our original problem. That was on a Marishan. That's the Yetzer Hara of the Baibim of Yotze. And that's the Yetzer Hara we're trying to overcome. That's the purpose of the Torah, is to help us overcome that Yetzer Hara. So, you know what? You'll have ups and you'll have downs. Don't measure your ups and downs too often. It's not very healthy. We've all been right to one place that says, I call it this, don't take your spiritual blood pressure all the time. You know, how am I doing today? I'm doing great, you know. I have certain, you know, people that are constantly, you know, every day they're doing better, they're doing worse, it drives me crazy listening to it. You know, Kabbal Karma, it drives them crazy. It's a process. The way it's described, it's one, you know, this is, I am not a big stock market man. I have no money to spend in the stock market, but I can end the sentence earlier. We don't have to. Over everybody's head. You got it. Thank you. You got it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. At least somebody got it, right? Okay. There's a fascinating study which they did. It says a person buys a stock from the year 1900 to the year 2000. Any company. Unless the company went bankrupt, the person held on to the stock for 10 years, the value of the stock went up. During those 10 years, right, if the guy tried to time the market and keep an eye on it, it goes up and it goes down, it goes up, and it pushes, you can have a heart attack. But that's not the goal. The goal is not one moment. The goal is I'm going to measure it constantly. Some point in time, you look back and say, you know what? I really grow. So I end with a interesting maisa. I very rarely heard Shiva, you know, Shiva held tremendously of the Gedolei Chassidus, but you know, he very rarely quoted them. I remember one time in a shmooze, he quoted the Measures of Maggid. It's like, wow, okay, right? It's your honor, right? Okay, he quoted the Measures of Maggid. So Chassid came to the Measures of Maggid, and he's very frustrated. He's not really seeing any growth in his lifetime. He's not really seeing any growth. He says, you know, he became a Chassid, and he really developed, etc., etc., etc. Now, like, you know, basically every day is the same, you know, davening, learning, you know, doesn't really see any growth. And it's very frustrating to him. So Rebbe said there's two types of aliyah. There's aliyah, which he calls aliyah bekatnos, and aliyah begadlos. Two types of aliyah. So what's aliyah bekatnos? Aliyah bekatnos is, right, child's born, child does nothing. Child has ability to suckle, and that's it. He can't do anything. Doesn't open his eyes, you know. Okay, goes for a little while, you know, child smiles. So, you know, imagine nowadays, he was thinking his days, but imagine nowadays, you know, like, what happens to the baby, there's a real smile, you know. First of all, this machlokes, was a real smile or not? You know, he really smiled at me, didn't really smile at you, you know. The mother says he did, the father says he didn't, you know, okay. But as soon as you're convinced it's real, so you call up the tantas and the bubbas and the cousins, and you know, the baby smiled, I think about it again, you know. Okay. You know, then it moves on a little bit, then eventually the baby's crawling, like, and again, you know, the wires are hot, you know. Everybody's been finding out in the world, you know, the wirelesses are hot nowadays, right? Everybody in the world knows. I'm aging, you know, definitely dating myself, right? Right? Everyone in the world knows the baby's crawling, you know. Each step it's very obvious. You know, yesterday he wasn't smiling, today he's smiling. He wasn't crawling, and now he's crawling. He wasn't walking, and now he's walking. He wasn't learning Alephase, now he's learning Alephase. Siddur, Chumash. No, he's 15 years old. He's learning Gemara Rashi before Shem. He's 16 years old, Gemara Rashi before Shem. 18 years old, Gemara Rashi before Shem. He says, Aliyah B'Katnas, you see it as it happens. These are when the person is still in a young stage, you see growth, and it's a very obvious steps. He says, when a person becomes a Gadol, right, that's not how it works. You don't see it happening. The way you see it is, you look back, look backwards after a period of time. You say, you know what? 2 years ago, I wasn't holding what I'm holding, and now I am. I don't see it happening. Yes, the process is, yes, we reached a point of where the avoiders that we're going to be dealing with, for the most part, are the same every day. It doesn't mean you're not growing anymore, but it's not obvious. The way you see it is by looking backwards, he said. If a person looks backwards where he is now, where he was a year ago, 2 years ago, he's definitely grown. Now, that doesn't mean that he, during that 2 years, the growth was constant, you know, moving upwards. No, there was ups, there was downs, there was falling backwards. And the waxing and the waning is all part of time. You can't have constant growth. That's not Klal Yisrael. That's not a human being. That's not us. And you know what? The waning is necessary. We need to move back. The Bereshit made us like that. We're not malachim. We need to move forward. Take a move, and then you know, realize it's too much. My body's grappling with it. I'm not ready to absorb that much. And we correct. And sometimes when we correct, we overcorrect. And we start over again. It's all part of the process, the waxing and the waning. So that's, I think, what he was saying. It's a measure over a period of time. You cannot see it. Last thing I want to say, just the last point over here. Time is valuable. Time is our biggest friend. Time is our biggest enemy. The older you get, the more you realize that time is your biggest enemy. But people think like this. A little bit of time, it's not important. It's a lot of time, which is important. Mimonoshach. If the Bereshit made the Bria for a purpose, and he gave us the Tachlis, every moment has value to it. And if we believe that this moment doesn't have value to it, then no moment has value to it. Because if there's a purpose to the Bria, then every moment, the Bereshit made the Bria, he made time, he made every moment, he made it. He gave it to us. If he gave it to us, it means we can do something of value with it. The value might be falling and learning how to overcome and being frustrated. And that's the impetus to the next step, or falling some more till we get a clarity of what's proper for ourselves at this point in time. That's all part of the process. But there's value to every moment. You can't have, it's an all or nothing proposition. You can't have some time is valuable. A little bit is not valuable, but a lot is valuable. That doesn't exist. So that's the final lesson of time. The Klal Yisrael is given to Yisrael Tzitzis Mitzrayim. We have this goal. The goal is to generate a relationship through Ahava, because that's the only way which we're going to accept the yoke and truly love it, is if we truly love it. And even that, we cannot do it in large units of time, but do it in small units of time. We have to accept the fact that it's going to be waxing, it's going to be waning. Understand that we cannot measure the process unless we've had a significant amount of time, which we can look backwards and see that there's been growth. To measure it constantly will work against us. And understand the value of every single moment.